You're listening to BBC Radio 3. It's 3 o'clock. Time now for this week's World Roots with Lucy Duran.
Today, music from Africa in many guises. Vintage Angolan music collected for the Analog Africa label by Sami Ben Regeb, who joins me later. Rita Ray is with me to talk Fela, the man, his music and the musical currently running at the National Theatre in London. But first, a track recorded here in the World Roots studio by my guests, the Malian kora player Balaké Sissoko and French cellist Vincent Segal, a collaboration that's captured the ears and imaginations of many this year. This is chamber music. The sublime combination of cello and kora played by Balaké Sissoko and Vincent Segal here in the World Roots studio. That was chamber music, and we'll be hearing more from that session later on in the programme. This month, the story of Nigeria's most famous and infamous musician is lighting up the stage at the National Theatre in London. Now, it's not often we talk theatre here on World Roots, but then it's not often that the theatre takes on the life of the king of Afrobeat, Fela Anyikulapo Kuti.
Everybody say yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, some of you said that after what happened to me, that I would never perform again. But here we are, And whether you have been following us all along or are new and become curious about what goes on here in the shrine, we are happy that so many of you have come tonight to welcome me back. But I have some bad news. As some of you may already know, tonight is our last concert in the shrine. It is true. We did go, the band, the girls, all of us, we are leaving Lagos. We are leaving Nigeria. This country has become too dangerous. But let us play some music now. This is what I call BID. Breaking it down. The how and why of Afrobeat. And it all begins here. E. The pulse of the world. The impulse of life. E.
Sar Ngauja as Fela Kuti from the Broadway cast recording of Fela the Musical at the start of the story. And I'm joined by our Afrobeat expert, Rita Ray, who's seen the show. Rita, the great thing about it is that from the moment you enter the theatre, it's as if you are in Lagos, which is quite an achievement for the National Theatre.
Absolutely. Not just that you're in Lagos, but you are at this iconic club, The Shrine. It's got the musicians playing, the dancers are dancing on the walls. There are all sorts of visual arts, you know, whether it's a facsimile of the actual shrine, which includes African leaders, including Kwame Nkrumah. And just all over, you know, it's like this mad graffiti. If you've ever seen any of his album covers, you just get that surge of energy, and all along the band are playing and the musicians are prowling about, the dancers are prowling about with the queens, inviting people to dance up on stage. So right from the start, before Fela comes on, they have set up that atmosphere, and then Fela comes on just like he did in The Shrine after the band had been playing for hours and hours.
So in the audience, it's really as if you're at The Shrine.
Absolutely transported. They did a really, really good job of just taking you there.
Well, in that clip that we just heard, Fela breaks down the music and talks about, you know, the rhythm as being the basis of Afrobeat. How do you see this show as an introduction to Afrobeat as a style?
Well, Fela was one of the few composers of the 20th century to actually create his own genre of music. So when he broke it down with this BID, breaking it down, I thought it was really great for anybody who didn't know about Afrobeat to see where he got it from, how he broke down Nigerian rhythms and borrowed from Ghanaian high life and jazz and funk, and then just reconstructed it in his own mad image. And then, of course, you get all his wonderful music, you know, being beautifully played, I have to say.
The band is fairly top notch.
Well, the keyboardist is Dele Sosimi, who was actually in Fela's band. He was one of Fela's proteges, and when Fela was incarcerated for currency fraud, led the band along with Fela's son Femi. So you can't get more real than that.
The story of Fela Kuti is hugely complicated, and he's acquired, no doubt, quite a lot of kind of myth and legend along the way. How do you feel it works as the story of his life, the representation of his life? With his 27 wives, etc.
Fela the man is full of contradictions and totally controversial. But this is theatre. This is a musical. You have to remember that. And it is on at the National Theatre and was on at Broadway. However, you get enough of Fela's story, you know, from his influences to how he was turned on to the style of music he eventually created, especially lyrically. I thought all the really important bits were there. I don't think you could have got much deeper into it. You know, Lucy, we know it's such a long play, such a long musical, 2 hours, 45 minutes. I have heard bits of rumbling, oh, well, they didn't get the real rough, violent side of Fela Kuti. No, they didn't.
So there was a bit of gloss.
Yes, there was a little bit of gloss, but I tend to think it was more because there wouldn't have been enough time.
Not because it originated as a Broadway musical and therefore probably had to gloss over a bit of the darker side of Fela.
I think maybe we would have got a slightly rounder picture of Fella. You know, he wasn't a jolly, cheeky chappy all the time. We know that. But I think this musical gave you enough to want to go and find out more about Fella.
It's funny that someone who was so firmly outside the establishment has now had his life and his music celebrated on Broadway, of all places, and now at the National Theatre.
Absolutely. I've just come back from Ghana and I met up with Carlos Moore, who was
One of his biographers.
Exactly. And Professor John Collins, who was also involved in a lot of the Calicutta shenanigans, who's a musician. And they were both absolutely sure that Fella would be spinning in his grave to think that his music was being played in the heart of the establishment venues and things. And, you know, I totally disagree. I think Fella would have been jumping for joy. We're celebrating him. Everything he said and sang about, you know, it's no less true now than it was then. OK, it's not warts and all, but we're getting basically the whole of his story there in the heart of Broadway and the National Theatre. I think he'd be absolutely delighted.
Thanks very much, Rita Ray, for joining me here on World Roots. And let's just have a little taste of the real Fella Anyikulapo Kuti. This is Fella with Calicutta Show from 1976.
They fly above him knee. The people way employ the man. Giam permit to carry the thing way bad. Giam permit to carry button. Giam permit to carry jaga. Giam permit to carry bullet. If it carry basket for protection too. Now so we just see him every day. Now so you they happen every day. One day,
Saturday.
One day,
Saturday morning.
The whole thing change. One day,
5 a.m.
One day,
November 23.
The whole thing change. One day,
1974.
One day, Calicutta Show. One day. Calicutta Show. The McCrawley use them jaggers and button and bullet. The McCrawley use them jaggers and button and bullet. Them use them basket for protection too. Them use them basket for protection too. Them do one thing they never do before.
The irrepressible voice of Fela Kuti from the collection Fela Anyikulapo Kuti, King of Afrobeat, the anthology. The music and the life that's the inspiration for Fela the Musical, running at the National Theatre until January. And if you can't make it to London to see that, the musical will be broadcast live to cinemas around the world on the 13th of January 2011. You're listening to World Roots with me, Lucy Duran, and do visit our website for details of all the music in the programme. That's at bbc.co.uk/radio3. There's still more to come from our session with Balake Sissoko and Vincent Segal. But before that, we turn to Angola. There's a fascinating new release of music from this southern African country. Angola Soundtrack, Special Sounds from Luanda, 1965 to 1978. Joining me from our studios in Frankfurt is Sami Ben Regeb, the founder of vintage record label Analog Africa and the compiler of the record. Before I talk to him, let's hear a track from it, Pachanga Maria by Os Bongos. Thank you. Pachanga Maria by Os Bongos from the album Angola Soundtrack, Special Sounds from Luanda, 1965 to 1978. An album that I have to say is my current favourite listening, and it's compiled by Sami Ben Rejeb for the label Analog Africa. So Sami, it's definitely compulsive listening. What got you started on your quest for vintage Angolan music?
Well, I discovered Angolan music about 10 years ago with a couple of releases that Buddha Music from Paris had put out. And Luanda somehow always, and Angola in general, always seems to be another place from another world to me. It was somehow very different from other music that I was hearing from Africa. And also, there was very little that was coming out from that country. You didn't hear too much what was going on musically. So it was something that was out of reach for me.
Well, and of course, that was because, first of all, there was a long war of independence, which was a terrible, bitter war. Then Angola became independent in 1975 and then went pretty much straight into a terrible
civil war.
So yeah. I'm astonished in a way that you were able to find so many wonderful tracks from that early period.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to have bumped into lots of Angolan music a few years earlier when I traveled to Sao Tome, which also used to be a Portuguese colony. And many people from Sao Tome used to go to Luanda to work. And then when the civil war started, many of them went back to Sao Tome and brought the records with them. And I started collecting Angolan and Sao Tomean records when I was there. And what I was very surprised about was the good condition that they were in, because everybody was coming with these kind of boxes which were made specially for single records, and they were all very nicely kept in there, and people were bringing them and say, well, we don't have a record player. And I was actually recording these things onto my computer and then burning them onto CDs. And then I started having quite a serious collection of Angolan music, which I was giving to the people who were bringing me the records so that they had something in exchange.
That's nice.
Not only
That's
money,
good.
But also the music.
What was it like to go to Luanda and work there and track down these musicians?
Well, First, to arrive to Luanda was already a very complicated process because they don't have a tourist visa, so you have to have somebody in Luanda who's inviting you. And then the prices of the hotels were completely crazy, so
I hear it's the most expensive city in the world.
In the world, yeah. And then also people were telling me that Luanda is very complicated, that if I thought I knew Africa, then I should arrive in Luanda and then expect something completely different. Hmm. And so when I arrived, I was a bit not sure what to expect. And to my surprise, it was, to me, more relaxing than other African cities I've been to. But the artists that I met, most of them were really very excited about having their music being released in Europe. And that was basically really what they were looking for, beside the financial aspect.
Let's listen to another track now, because what's so fascinating about this album is that there's such diversity. And so I would like to hear a track called Makongo Mechikita.
Mama, wetu ambote mini na yokeza kumusenga mama Sayote nga sumbu mama, mini sayanga sumbu mama Ndemba nga sumbu mama, apersi nga sumbu mama Kalolo yongo tambeka mini na indingi wandala mini na Uye, 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 uye mwene Uye, uye, ngitena, ngitena, ngitena Ngitena, ngitena, mwetu wambote mini na yokeza kumusenga mama Mwetu wambote mini na yokeza kumusenga mama Sayote nga sumbu mama, mini sayanga sumbu mama Mbango sumbila mama, abersi nga sumbu mama Kalolo jongo tambeka mini na indindi wandala mini na Uye, uye, uye mwene, ngitena, ngitena
Makongo Mechikita by Ferreira do Nascimento, and that is from the album Angola Soundtrack, Special Sounds from Luanda, 1965 to 1978, on the Analog Africa label, run by Sami Ben Rejib, run and compiled by Sami, who is on the line from a studio in Frankfurt with me. So tell us about Ferreira do Nascimento.
Yeah, he was one of the artists that I unfortunately didn't manage to meet because he had passed away last year. But this was a particularly important song for me because it was one of the first songs that I heard that I wanted to compile. It comes from an album called Folklore Angolano, which is a series released by Valentim de Carvalho, which was a Portuguese independent label that had subsidiaries in Angola called Ngola. And they released a series of LPs called Folklore Angolano. And I think there is 6 volumes. And this is from the 5th volume, which was, it has a very cheesy kind of a cover. It doesn't look like something very special. But then when you listen to it, there is many records that I compiled on Angolan soundtrack that came from that volume, from volume 5.
So this is the 9th release in your Analog Africa series.
Yeah.
Sammy, just tell us about, you know, what you've tried to do with this series and what you've covered.
Well, I started with the Zimbabwean music. That was my first 2 releases. And then I had planned to release a kind of a series similar to the Ethiopic series with Ethiopian music. I had decided to do more or less the same thing with Zimbabwean music. But due to the political situation in that country, although I never had too much trouble in Harare, I felt that it was not the adequate situation to be working with artists because there was fuel was missing and everybody was just struggling. There were also kind of a depressing feeling in the whole country. So I felt I should come back to Zimbabwe when it calms down a bit. And then I had just come back from a trip in Nigeria where I had found a few records by an artist from Benin called Nyonyas Pedro, which I didn't know at that time. That was 6 years ago. And I thought to myself, well, Benin, very little people know about Benin. There is very little music that has been released from Benin. So maybe you should go and see if there is something to be found. So I flew to Cotonou, and that's really when I bumped into lots of material that has never been released. But also the thing that I'm trying to do is also to show that Africa, in terms of music, was as good, as, if not better, than many other parts of the world that think they were leading in terms of music. I know that when I started listening to music, I was very impressed by the musicality and also how the musicians were handling the instruments. And then when you are here in the West and like a newspaper would say, well, we're going to present you the 100 best guitar players of the world, and you never have a South American guitar player, you never have an African guitar player.
And you certainly don't have an Angolan guitar player.
And you don't have an Angolan guitar player.
No, despite the fact that there are some wonderful guitar lines on this on this album of yours, really fantastic. Yeah. We're going to hear a track that I have just, since I first put it on my CD player, I mean, it's just, I play it all the time. It's nice. Really, really wonderful. And it resonates with a lot with Afrobeat, which we were talking about earlier on in the programme. Tell me about this track, about Emel Lelou.
Well, when I went to Angola, I was thinking that the composer of that song is a gentleman called Kim Manuel. And I never heard of him, and nobody else really had. So I thought he's going to be very difficult to trace. But I had an interview with some members of Os Quezos, which is one of the most important band of Angola. And I was telling them, do you know these people? I'm looking for these people. So they looked on the list that I had and they said, Kim Manuel. They said, I know this guy. He used to have a shop, a record shop called Ikuma. And they're telling me he's very close to this place, actually. So let me get you the phone number. So a day later, I received a phone call, and it was Kim Manuel calling me, and he said, are you the guy coming from Europe and trying to locate me? Because I actually don't believe what people are telling me, that you're coming after 30 years looking for that song. And what is surprising is that I think a day or two before I left Luanda, I found another single by Kim Manuel, which is also very good, which is hopefully going to be released on the 2nd volume. What Kim Manuel was telling me is that when he was working in the record shop, all the musicians used to come. And when he decided to do his own recording, he decided to contact one of the band that were coming to his shop and with whom he had become friend. And that's a band called Inter Palanca. And that's the band that is backing him on this song, Emel Lelou.
Maye, ye, ye. Maye, ye, ye. Mesele lungi di alaze. Mesele lunga kube. Saki di la mama. Saki di la tili ayo. Mwene watalio halize. Eni atalio. Eni atalio halize. Mesele lunga kube. Saki di la mama. Saki di la tiyo yo. Sakidi la mama, sakidi la tili ayo. Eni atale ohadi, eni atale ohadi ze, eni atale ohadi. Eyeselelu akuluwe. Sakidi la jeye, eyesele lo udi yalawe. Sakidi la jeye, sakidi la diaye, sakidi la manyenwe. Enyo atale oho hadise, eni atale oho hadise. Maye, ye, ye. Maye, ye, ye, ye.
Vintage music from Angola with a touch of Afrobeat. That was Eme Lelu by Kim Manuel O Espiritu Santo from the album Angola Soundtrack, Special Sounds from Luanda, 1965 to 1978, out now on the Analog Africa label. And many thanks to Sami Ben Rejeb for joining me. You're listening to World Roots with me, Lucy Duran, here on BBC Radio 3. And to end today's programme, we head from Angola to Mali via Paris. I'm delighted to welcome back to the World Roots studio Balaké Sissoko and Vincent Segal. As we heard at the beginning of the programme, the combination of the cora and cello creates an intimate and beautiful musical conversation bridging two very different worlds.
Thank you.
sublime music here in the World Roots studio by Balaké Sissoko on kora, he's from Mali, and Vincent Segal on cello from France. And that piece of music was called Niandou. Tell us about Niandou.
Bon, en fait, Niandou, là, j'ai essayé de voir la rencontre entre les deux cultures, donc pas...
So Balaké is explaining that that piece, Niandou, is an encounter between the two musical cultures that he's grown up with. On the one hand, the Gambian style of kora playing, which he learnt through his father and his grandfather, who were both from the Gambia. And on the other hand, the Bamana style, which is the style of Mali, where he's actually grown up. So he's looking for the common ground. And it's something, Balaké says, that you have really enjoyed listening to Vincent.
Yeah, what is really nice is every time we play, we don't talk about where it come from or where. We just play and enjoy some part without saying anything, and then after I have to memorize.
So the pieces that you perform together start out as a kind of informal improvisation.
Not really. I wouldn't say improvisation. It's more like the way you teach between musicians lines and melody and where to play. So we play and we listen. Sometimes I start something, sometimes Balaké. And when it's traditional, Balaké plays. And until I get the melody and the groove, we keep playing and playing and looking for, and without saying anything.
Balaké, tell us how you first met, you and Vincent.
Oui, bon, en fait, on partage le même label avant.
Balaké says that they used to share the same label, but Vincent was on jazz and you were on world music. Balaké found out that Vincent had listened a lot to Balaké's work, previous work. They went to see him, and afterwards he got in touch with him. Balaké told him his idea, because he'd done many collaborations with many different instruments. This time he just wanted to do acoustic kora with acoustic cello. Vincent also liked this idea very much, and they started to work together. They weren't in a hurry. Balaké says that one of the things that he's liked about the way that they've worked together is that it's been a time of few words, just peacefully working together. Your album together, Chamber Music, you played the title track for us at the beginning of the program. That's just won a fantastic award in France, the International Jazz Album of the Year, which is very prestigious. Congratulations. But is it jazz? What is your music?
No, I really like jazz music, but every time I say the word jazz, a lot of jazz players say, yeah, my music is not jazz, I don't like this word or anything, you know. I like Bembeya jazz. But I think, like you said, playing without saying too many words, it's part of jazz experience in a way.
I mean, that piece that we just heard, Niandou, is the foundation of that music, is definitely the kora. What are you bringing to this music? Are you also creating foundations?
There are some tunes where nothing's come from the kora, but always I chose something where I know something comes from before. Like my idea of music, I know Balaké can find some way to play with it without losing his pleasure to play.
Let's hear another piece of music. What will it be?
On va jouer Mama FC.
They're going to play Mama FC. What's it about?
Well, ouais, le sujet là c'est à propos de nos enfants.
Ah, ouais. So it's about your sons.
Ma et ma.
Ouais, ma et ma.
Our two sons, they play quite good football in different teams. So they're not interested by the cello and the kora. You know, we are dads. So, but they're not interested by music. So we made this little tune. I was thinking, because the way I ask Balaké to play is like horses, you know, like.
Horses running, horses galloping.
That's very
idiomatic to the kora, because you know, in the old days, in the pre-colonial days, the kora made the horses dance.
So for me, the idea of the horse is really like the best juggler. When you see like horse, for me, like you see it's so. I say for the kids, if you play this tune, it's gonna be like all the tricks they try to imitate from great soccer player.
Okay, so let's hear Mama FC.
Mm-hmm.
Mama FC, played on the kora by Balaké Sissoko from Mali and on the cello by Vincent Segal from France. Deliciously inventive music. It's such a wonderful sound that you two make on these two very different instruments. Tell us about some of the ways in which you move from the sort of the traditional ways of playing these two instruments.
In the history of musician, what I always loved is the musician who are doing like perversion of the instrument because they love to play like the way my teacher teach me the cello. It's great. But at the same time, I watch all those players, even from classical, jazz. They take an instrument and then they discover something. It can be like guitar player from like Hendrix or Johnny Guitar Watson who transform the sound. It can be like Franco from Zaire, Congo, who change the tuning and find a way to play like a solo in Zairean music. It can be Balaké who is like in his imagination, it can be like Goni player. It can be player from the north like Songhai. Playing sometimes he play instrument like imitation of like double bass or even cello sometimes. So for me, the idea of instrument is your best friend. In a way, you can express a lot of different stuff. Yeah.
The interesting thing is, Balaké, I've known you since you were 19 years old. I met you first in Mali in 1986. Mm-hmm. And you've always been a very traditional player. But at the same time, you've done all of these extraordinary collaborations with everything from Indian music to, well, now to the cello.
Bon, en fait, moi, le but que j'ai... Bon, là, je dis, OK, Balaké...
Balaké is saying that what he says to himself is just be yourself, be true to yourself, and work with what is comfortable for you. Because his musical education has been entirely by ear. So he sees his role as transforming but staying true to himself and to his musical background.
Et puis la différence dans notre culture...
So what Balaké says is the way that they learn is by ear in their tradition, whereas here in the West we try to find shortcuts to our methods of learning. But that what he's found is that actually everything that he's encountered in the collaborations that he's done already exists in his music. You know, different experimental tunings and so on in some way are already in his tradition. He's just expanding the tradition.
And at the same time, well, I agree with him. It's really hard because everything is oral, but in Europe it's the same, but we forget about that. It's like...
Everything is by ear.
Yeah, and if you listen to like Fritz Kreisler or Misha Hellman, like old traditional classical violin, some people they say, oh, they play out of tune. But no, it's because... The way we play now, the tuning is so
fixed.
Temperate, so fixed. But before, it was more influenced by a way to play some notes more like flatter. And when you listen to Balaké's playing, and when you listen to the just one generation, it's not the same exactly tuning. And probably before, it was different. It's moving. It's always
what you're saying, Vincent, is that there isn't just one tradition. There are many different traditions, and there are many different individuals who bring something individual, and Balaké has a very special talent and a very individual style. So we have time for one more piece, and let's have something that is completely different from anything else. What will it be, Vincent?
Oscarine. This tune is hard to say anything about. The style comes from I don't know where, but I start to play this combination of something really first, really naive. And then we play, and the rhythm is like changed between the kora and the cello, and we have this like down, 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 and then the other is doing the opposite, like get, 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 get. So it gives
a
this
kind of
machine.
Off the beat.
Moi, je l'adapte avec la corde de simbi.
So Balaké is adapting the sound of the kora to sound like the hunter's harp, the simbi.
Yeah, simbi. The simbi,
exactement. Et joue comme ça.
Yeah.
Except Masimbing.
Ah, yes.
And then after...
So it's exactly like the Simbing, the hunter's harp of the west of Mali.
And then it is soon after, is like you talked about the different sounds. So I tried to express the cello like coming from the wind with the harmonic. And then at the end, I finished with the mod who comes from... Actually, I learned this mod from Sushila and from Sam.
That's an Indian mode.
South Indian, yeah.
So we're in for a real voyage.
Yeah,
with this next piece of music with Oscarine. Well, thank you both so much for sharing this absolutely stunning music and wonderful project. Vincent Segal on cello and Balake Sissoko on kora, ending this session in the studio with their piece Oscarine.
Balaké Sissoko and Vincent Segal performing Oscarine, and it closes this week's World Roots. Details of all the music played are on the World Music pages of the Radio 3 website, bbc.co.uk/Radio 3. World Roots was presented by Lucy Duran and produced by Peter Meanwell. Next week, you can join Lucy Duran and the World Roots team as they celebrate their 10th anniversary in the first of two programmes recorded at a special World Roots anniversary concert featuring musicians from Turkey, Peru and Azerbaijan. Same time next Saturday afternoon here on BBC Radio 3. That's 3 o'clock.
On BBC Radio 3, Mark Padmore sings Schumann's Liederkreis.
Morgen steh ich auf und frage, kommt mein Liebchen heut?
In a live Radio 3 lunchtime concert at London's Wigmore Hall, Padmore marks the bicentenary of Schumann's birth with one of his most celebrated song cycles. Join me, Susie Klein, on Monday lunchtime from 1 o'clock on BBC Radio 3.
It's 4 o'clock this Saturday afternoon, and now on BBC Radio 3, time for Jazz Library with Alan Shipton.
Well, today I'm delighted to be joined on Jazz Library by a drummer from South Africa who I've long admired as one of the greatest rhythmic powerhouses in jazz, Louis Moholo. And Louis, thank you so much for joining me on the programme.
Yeah, joy.
We're going to start, not perhaps as people might expect, but in 1966, with you working in a rather unusual quartet with Johnny Deani, who'd come with you from South Africa, but with Steve Lacy on soprano sax and Enrico Rava. How did this quartet come about?
Well, we played in Copenhagen with the Blue Notes, and then we were heard by John Chikai, who happened to be in Copenhagen for just a short time, and he heard us playing in Montmartre Jazz Club, and he fell in love with my drumming. And he went backstage, and they wanted to form up a band, so like he asked me if I could join him. And okay, and we played with Russell Rudd. And then Russell Rudd happened to be the friend of Steve Lacy, and Steve Lacy was just over heels with me. And then I introduced Johnny to Steve Lacy. He had known Johnny, and he was knocked out by Johnny, as you know, how Johnny is, you know, how wonderful Johnny could play. Then he told me that there was a trumpet player from Italy called Enrico Rava, and the man was really a good trumpet player, you know, and he still is a master to me, you know. That's how it happened to play with Steve.
It's a wonderful sound, this quartet, sadly, because the album, which is called The Forest and the Zoo, and those are the two tracks on the album, it's two very long pieces of improvisation. But, Louis, this must have been great to just work with people who are so sympathetic.
Yeah, man, you know, like, just to rehearse with those guys, we would just play one song for about 3 hours, and this is a rehearsal. This is how much energy they have, these guys. And, of course, they came to the right place, because when we came from South Africa, we came to the West, we could only play for about 45 minutes, which was 45 minutes was nothing. We were just warming up then, you know, 45 minutes, if it was equivalent to the South African standards. Just warming up for 45 minutes. The rest of 3 45-minute minutes, yeah, then you start going, you know what I mean? No, they told us in the clubs that we used to play in the continent, they told us after 45 minutes, man, you stop. And we were saying, why, until we learned the lesson that, yeah, we must stop and take a break. To us, was unheard of, you know, because like we used to play for 3 hours.
Zoo by Steve Lacy from the album The Forest and the Zoo on ESP. And that is not only available for download, but it's now out on CD after many, many years, only available as a fairly rare and hard to find LP. The band, Steve Lacy on soprano, Enrico Rava trumpet, Johnny Diani bass, and my guest, Lewis Mahola on drums. And Lewis, you talked about how interesting it was to work with Johnny, what a fantastic bass player he was, but you were greatly helped in the fact that there were two magnificent bass players who came from South Africa. And we're about to hear the other one, Harry Miller, who was also somebody with whom you had a great musical partnership.
Yeah, Harry, thank God, he came at the right time. He came with Manfred Mann, actually, from South Africa, and they were playing pop. But then when he came overseas, he fell in love with the scene that was happening in London, which was jazz, and we started playing together. Different units, you know, like with Keith Tippett. We hung out together, you know. A very strong bass player. I liked the way he handled his music. H.E. was a wonderful musician, you know, a wonderful composer, as you have heard.
Yes, well, the piece we're going to play is from the band that he ran called Isipingo, which was very much a part of the scene. I remember them appearing at the 100 Club on those sessions, the Monday night sessions, which used to be when many of you guys played down at that club. Sadly, not to be with us much longer. The rumours are it's going to close before Christmas. It was one of those things, I think, too, that there was a fusion of musicians who were sympathetic, like Keith, and in this case, Mark Sharrigan, particularly Mike Osborne, who you seem to have founded a great relationship with.
Big heart and big body. He used to say to me that he has to have that body to play those notes, like Dick Charlie Parker was like that, too. Taps. He used to call me Taps. He says, yeah, man, I need this body, Taps, you know, to press on this horn, man, you know. And he really did. It was so fast and so furious. Unbelievable technique, you know, like very all-round musician as a, he could play all night long.
Thank you.
Ellie's Song by Harry Miller, played by Isipingo, from the album Family Affair on Ogun Again, originally out on LP but recently reissued by Ogun as a CD. The band Mark Cherig, Mike Osborne, Malcolm Griffiths, Keith Tippett, Harry Miller, and my guest, Lewis Mahola, on drums in January 1977. Lewis, we're going to move on to the next year, and the piece that you've suggested we have next is a wonderful example of Evan Parker in absolutely full flight at that stage. I mean, you can hear the notes almost spitting out of the tenor. It's such an exciting performance. And the two of you seem to have a bond. I mean, you've worked a lot together since.